actually make things better for people in Latin America and in the United States. But instead, we insist on punishing Latin America, pushing people out of their home countries, and then not opening up legal pathways for them to migrate.
Juan, I wanted to put this question to you. You and Congressmember Greg Kassar were part of a panel yesterday called 200 Years is Enough, Moving Past the Monroe Doctrine Toward a New Era in U.S.-Latin American Relations. Can you put this current push at this moment, right, because the House Speaker says they're going to go home at the end of the week if they don't get their way on border. Biden is desperate to get money for Ukraine. And so we don't know at this point what's going to happen. McConnell says there's no way they can do this before Christmas. But put this in that broader 200-year context. I mean, you wrote that incredible book that's now a textbook in so many college classes called Harvest of Empire. Talk about how this fits in with the Monroe Doctrine and what that was.
Well, yes. Well, the Monroe Doctrine for 200 years has been the basic policy that the United States has pursued in the entire Western Hemisphere, but especially toward Latin America, telling European and other colonial powers, you stay out of the Western Hemisphere. This is our backyard, in essence. And it's been used repeatedly by U.S. presidents and Congresses to invade countries in Latin America, to foment clandestine or covert operations, to remove leaders that weren't sufficiently obedient to the United States. And I think it's never really been repealed or refuted by U.S. leaders. I mean, there was a small attempt by John Kerry during the Obama administration to claim it was over, but President Trump backtracked on that and went back to the bullying of the United States and Latin America. And I'm wondering, Congressman Kassar, your sense of the prospects for being able to have a new policy for Latin America in the future.
It's time for us to leave that 200-year Monroe Doctrine legacy behind us. And I think a small number of progressives who start to open up a window to a new relationship in Latin America are going to carve the path forward here. Because instead of spending our limited resources on things you've covered, Juan, overthrowing the government in Guatemala in the 50s, the invasion of Cuba, arming Contra rebels in Nicaragua, currently continuing to starve instead of feed people in places like Cuba and Venezuela, instead of engaging in that honestly doesn't help in Latin America and doesn't help us here, we can create a new partnership. I was just in Chile for nearly the anniversary of us helping overthrow the Chilean government of Allende back in the day. And part of the reason we did that is because we wanted to protect United States and Chilean elites in the copper industry. That was disastrous. So many people died. It helped no one. But instead, finally, we could have a conversation about how do we support democracy and support one another in rising authoritarianism? How, as we head towards a renewable and climate more resilient future, they have instead the resources for us to create batteries. How do we create those together and make sure working class people in Chile and the United States benefit, not just big corporations? There is a real ability for us to work with Latin America to tackle the climate crisis, beat back authoritarianism, address migration. That would actually benefit our constituents and our communities. And I think folks would get reelected on that kind of work in Latin America rather than continued invasions.
And we just have 10 seconds. Do you think President Biden hears you? What do you think is going to happen? Your prediction, Congressman?
What I can tell you for sure is that you're going to see increased pressure coming from Hispanic, Black, and Asian members of Congress, progressive members of Congress. You're going to see us hosting press conferences, delivering letters, and saying we're going to be a no vote on this whole package.
Congressmember Greg Kassar, Democrat from Texas, will also link to Tuesday's congressional briefing, 200 Years is Enough, Moving Past the Monroe Doctrine Toward a New Era in U.S.-Latin American Relations. And that does it for our show, Democracy Now! Produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feldstein, Augusta Messiah Rhodes, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warren, Trina Nadura, Sam Alcoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Honey, Sanji Lopez. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about flaming cheese as we are.
We'll be right back. WRCT Pittsburgh.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Hey, Pittsburgh, this is Eric Harrison coming to you with a heart full of gratitude on WRCT Pittsburgh. Rock on, Yinzers.
I want to know, do you love me anymore?
He's a mojo king. I tell y'all, his man. She says I did her wrong, I made love your daughter must be crazy. I'm a born to wheel and deal. I made a deal with your daughter. That's why she fell in love with me. Oh, we did, man. We'll be right back.
Michael Norworthy, your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Asthma affects 25 million people nationwide, and every day 10 people die with it, with African American women and children being most at risk. Early warning signs include coughing, especially at night, or with exercise and wheezing. Almost all asthma can be effectively managed with a good action plan. So talk with your doctor today, and for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
Hey, kids, it's Krusty the Clown. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. All right, where's my money? What? Chintzy college stations.
Just like a rainbow, I'm fading away. Papa leaves me most every day. Oh, he don't mean me no good. Why? You know, I only wish he would. I'm almost gone insane. I'm forever trying to call his name. Look what you're doing. Think what you're doing. Oh, Papa, you caused my ruin. You caused me ruin. All my money I give to you. You make me mean and awfully blue. Oh, you'll miss me. You'll long to kiss me. Regret the day you ever quit me. Oh, Papa, think when you're always from home. I give you money, you don't want me no how, but you will love me one day somehow. And Papa, Papa, you won't have no mama at all. When you're always from home, I give you money, you don't want me no how, but you will love me someday somehow. And Papa, Papa, you won't have no mama at all.
BT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1940.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, as we record the show on December 7th, the news from Gaza continues horrific. The Washington Post is reporting, citing Gaza Health Ministry reports, that Israel's continued assault throughout the region has killed at least 350 people in the past 24 hours. bringing the death toll of the Israeli military campaign, launched after the October 7th attack by Hamas that killed a reported 1,200 people, to more than 17,000. In this country, Columbia University has suspended two student groups protesting in support of Palestinian human beings and human rights, though the official message couldn't specify which policies exactly had been violated. There are many important and terrible things happening in the world right now, from fossil fuel companies working to undo any democratic restraints on their ability to profit from planetary destruction, to drug makers who have devastated the lives of millions of people using the legal system to say money actually can substitute for accountability, to an upcoming presidential election that is almost too much to think about, and a Beltway press corps acting like it's just another day. But the devastation of Gaza and the vehement efforts to silence anyone who wants to challenge it, and the failure of those efforts as people nevertheless keep speaking up, keep protesting, is the story for today. Sonia Meyerson Knox is communications director of Jewish Voice for Peace. We talked with her this week on Counterspin. And that's coming up, but first, a very quick look back at some recent press. The New York Times asked in a recent headline, "Can carbon capture live up to the hype?" The article's subhead seemed to offer an affirmative response. Quote, "The technology to capture and bury carbon dioxide has struggled to ramp up and has real limits, but experts say it could play a valuable role." Close quote. But what's the evidence? The article mostly described the failures of expensive carbon capture projects to even get off the ground. The only reference to that supposedly valuable role linked to three studies or reports. The titles of two were Carbon Capture, Too Little, Too Late, Too Slow, It's No Panacea, and Heavy Dependence on Carbon Capture and Storage, Highly Economically Damaging, says Oxford Report. A third, seemingly more optimistic report came from the International Energy Agency, but that agency's latest report actually offered the opposite message, its executive director explained. Oil companies' plan to hit net zero by increasing production and capturing emissions is an illusion based on implausibly large amounts of carbon capture. Well, luckily for those companies, the New York Times headline writers are here to keep that illusion going. You're listening to Counterspin. Counterspin is produced by the National Media Watch Group, FAIR.